Predictably, the president yesterday, when he was answering questions from members of parliament in a virtual sitting of the National Assembly, was always going to be asked questions around developments within the ANC. Gay Davis is our senior parliamentary correspondent for EWN, joins me on the line now. And the president did duck and dive a little bit yesterday, Gay, when he was faced with a barrage of questions pertaining to that, didn't he? Good morning.
Morning to you, Africa. Yeah, look, I think you can say, did he duck and dive or did he just deflect? You know, he essentially, I think, just swatted away opposition efforts to try to capitalize on the turmoil that's unfolding in the ranks of the ANC at the moment. You know, with, it started with Floyd Shivani, the EFF whip, delaying the start of Ramaphosa's question and answer session by questioning whether he had a right to be there to address the House at all on the basis of this letter of suspension that was sent to the President by the suspended Secretary General of the ANC, Ace Magashule. Then we had John Steenhuisen accusing Ramaphosa of focusing more time on ANC factional battles while the country faces a third wave of the coronavirus. I felt that Ramaphosa just dealt with it, you know, very matter of factly, told the DA to mind its own business, said we didn't say anything about you guys when you were sort of experiencing your own factional battles, and also this is none of your business, it's the ANC's business. So, you know, he unleashed a couple of zingers to put the DA and the EFF in their place, I think.
And of course, understandably, the focus of the question and answer series yesterday was really around the vaccines, right? We are less than a week away from the rollout of the phase two of vaccines in this country. 17th of May is a date we're all looking forward to. Of course, Pfizer has landed or delivered the first tranche of vaccines. We're still waiting on the Johnson & Johnson. What questions did the president face from the members of parliament pertaining to that?
He was quite detailed in some of the information that he gave. He says nearly 3,500 vaccination sites have already been accredited. Apparently there's an entire procedure that has to be followed. He says the logistics are in place for a comprehensive rollout campaign. Now, this is, as you explained, Africa, supposed to start on the 17th of May, this bid to vaccinate 67% of the population. That's more than 40 million people, the adults, by the end of the year. Now, this is a big ask. Ramaphosa is acknowledging that. He's saying this is an unprecedented project. It's never been done before. But he says that country has secured enough vaccines to dose 41.5 million people. He's warned that there could be delivery issues that would be beyond the government's control. For example, you mentioned the J&J vaccines that we still need to get. They've been held up with due to an issue in the United States at a contractor. So, you know, he's trying to say that there could be delays, but they're largely out of the government's control. For the government's part, he is saying everything is in place for this rollout plan. Now, they're talking about mass vaccination sites at conference centres and workplaces, mines, factories, including government departments, mobile teams being in action. But generally, the vaccination sites are going to involve pharmacies, general practitioners, public and private hospitals, the usual places, clinics where you would go and get treatment. But they've gone beyond that with these mass vaccination sites also planned.
And how were his answers supposed received by members of parliament? I mean, this is a hot political potato at the moment, sadly also involving millions of people's lives. Were the MPs satisfied, or did they have even more ringers to respond with to the president?
Well, you know, the procedure in the House is that he gets an opportunity to respond to the script, you know, to the question on the order paper, and then there are supplementary questions which come by way of follow-up from MPs. And that's where the digs would come in, you know, from opposition MPs, you know, Steenhuisen challenging challenging him on whether trying to portray the government as incompetent and unable to do it, saying that they haven't even been able to vaccinate the entire cohort of 800,000 healthcare workers, for example. But by the same token, the president was at pains to explain just why there had been delays. I mean, the J&J vaccination of healthcare workers in the Sasanke program was suspended, but that was because in the US, the Federal Drug Administration had flagged concerns about blood clots, very, very rare event. But nevertheless, that led to them sort of halting in the US, and on the basis of advice, South Africa did the same thing. But that wasn't a delay that the government could have done anything about. And those were the points that Ramaphosa was trying very hard to get across yesterday in the face of opposition sniping about the unfolding drama within the ANC and using it to try to derail or to portray the government as unfocused and incompetent.
A few hours before that, we know that the US president had offered to waive intellectual property rights on COVID-19 vaccines. And of course, the president, who's been pushing for a very long time to have this in place, I imagine took some of the credit, saying that it goes to show the influence we have as a country working with others. Vaccine imperialism and nationalism by more developed countries should come to an end, he said. The other issue, Gay, is that this was the first time the president was in parliament following his appearance at the Zondo Commission in his capacity, of course, as ANC president. He made a bold promise, right, that state capture is a thing of the past now.
Yeah, well, I think that's more of a line drawn in the sand, actually, Africa. I mean, saying that state capture is a thing of the past, one would hope it is. And certainly the efforts that are going into turning things around at the National Prosecuting Authority, other law enforcement agencies, more funding, renewed focus, rebuilding institutions like SARS that were hollowed out during the Zuma administration. All of those things are gaining traction and are moving the country in the right direction, one would hope and believe. But it's a long process. It's not an overnight process. And yes, I think it was brave of him to say that state capture is a thing of the past. On the TRIPS waiver, South Africa and the AU were essentially the drivers of arguing for that. That has been welcomed, because that's going to help countries develop the capacity to manufacture vaccines, but also Ramaphosa would very much like to see South Africa manufacturing, not just manufacturing, but developing its own vaccine.
And then the last issue to touch on, Gay, 27th of October is the date of the next local government election. That announcement was made a week or two ago. Did it come up at all during the Q&A yesterday?
Yeah, it did come up. Sheikh Imam of the National Freedom Party, in one of the supplementary questions, wanted to know from the president whether the ANC wouldn't just, should the ANC not withdraw from the local government elections, given everything that had gone on. Said Sheikh Imam that all the criminal wrongdoing, criminal activities, and people had been aware of it, was relating to some of the testimony before the Zondo inquiry. But Ramaphosa was emphatic, and it came as no surprise that he was emphatic about saying that there's no way that the ANC is going to withdraw from the local government elections. He says that the majority of South Africans still, that can see that the ANC is doing what it can to try to get itself back on track, reset its moral compass, and essentially he's looking for that continued trust in the electorate to help the ANC carry through the promise that has been shown in the by-elections, which it's been winning. in terms of local government election outcomes.
Only time will tell, I suppose. Gay Davis, thank you very much indeed for your time today. And of course, reporting from Gay Davis and the team, you'll be able to listen to on EWN throughout the day right here on Cape Talk and 702. Gay Davis is a senior parliamentary correspondent for Eyewitness News.